Next, we'll turn for the scripture reading this morning to the prophecy according to the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning at verse 1. Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and say, Ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy hath said against you, Aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and ye are taken up in the lips of talkers, and are an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, to the desolate wastes and to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart, with despiteful minds, to cast it out for a prey. Prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and to the valleys, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have borne the shame of the heathen. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up mine hand, surely the heathen that are among you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown, and I will multiply even upon you all the house of Israel, even all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded, and I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates, and will do better unto you than at your beginnings, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel, and they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, because they say unto you, Thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore thou shalt devour men no more, neither bereave thy thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen any more, neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people any more, neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall any more, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have polluted in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols, which I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree, and the increase of the field, and ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord God, be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the wastes shall be builded, and the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that pass by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Congregation, Ezekiel 36 is a promise to the Jewish nation, especially when he will gather all the tribes of Israel, bringing them back to Canaan, to the land that he gave to his people. When I have said this, I say another thing too. If you read in this chapter, the conversion of Israel. It's not a different conversion of all the people of God. And I must even say that the Christians belong to the covenant of Abraham in Christ. The middle wall of separation has been taken away. We live in a time and age that Israel seems to be an only spot for the future. No. Isaiah 54 says that thy seed will inherit the heathen, ingrafted in Christ, so that Abraham would be the father of all believers. So this is specially said to that old covenant people of Israel, that God at the end days will gather them together. You see in Ezekiel 36, first the blessings upon the land, which what God would give them. And it speaks in the first part about the land. God will multiply the beasts and the people upon it. And he will bless the cities and take care of it. But secondly, you see in Ezekiel 36, the people he will gather from all the nations. For I will take you 24 from among the heathen, and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into your own country. That's a promise. God will do it. And then it continues, and that are the text verses for this morning. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Three thoughts. A hardened people. A hardened people. God judges them, and they profaned his name in Israel and even among the heathen, a hardened people. What can you do with them? Nothing. But God does. So a hardened people, the gospel preached and applied, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. It's remarkable that it's not said blood. Why is it said clean water? The gospel preached and applied. I will sprinkle it upon you, and you will be cleansed from all your idols and from all your filthiness. God does it. And thirdly, you see that God will put in their hearts a new spirit, God's spirit, and makes them to walk in his ways. All is out of God, through God, and unto God. Congregation, that's our only hope. If that wasn't the hope, there is no hope. Out of him, through him, and unto him is all salvation. That's the joy of the poor people of God. That will be eternal joy. Out of him, through him, and unto him are all things, a hardened people. The gospel preached and applied, and the Spirit put in their new hearts to walk in his ways. God will sanctify them for his own glory. That's the salvation of the people of God. Congregation, the interest of salvation is with God and not with us. It's a blessing, yes. But the Lord says in this chapter to Israel, I do this not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. I'm careful and fearful to say it, but salvation of the people of God is God's interest. If that was not the case, there wouldn't be any salvation. I do this not for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. Isn't it clear? Therefore, the Lord Jesus, when he came, he says in Psalm 40, I come to do thy will. Yeah, but Pastor, when John says in John chapter 3, 16, for God so loved the world. Yeah, but the world is his world and not yours. His handiwork, his glory. And you know, in the Greek, the world means cosmos, jewel. And we have profaned it. And God will be glorified. I don't do this for your sakes, but for my holy name's sakes, which ye have profaned among the heathen. Wonderful, isn't it? Well, Israel had profaned and defiled the name of the Lord. They had served the idols. Many sins. The land was defiled by blood and polluted, like today. I've heard it in the United States. Since abortion, 53 million children are murdered in the womb. 53 million children murdered in the womb. Blood on the face of the earth. Polluted with idols. And I don't need to go in details. An idol is something that takes you away from the Lord. That's an idol. Polluted with idols. The Church of Satan, 1969, started. And in every song of the world, you can hear the date, 1969, if you would listen carefully. You have polluted, defiled, but not only the United States, Europe, the Christian heritage polluted, the name of the Lord defiled. And what happened? The Lord put upon them his fury and scattered them in the whole world. Captivity. Even the 10 tribes of Israel, we don't know where they are exactly today. But he had scattered among the heathen. And the 2 tribes were scattered, were also brought to captivity. But do you know what happened while they were in captivity and scattered among the heathen? They profaned the Lord again. Because the heathen said, this is the people of God and they are coming out of the land of God. Who is their God that allows such a thing? And his name was profaned again. My dear congregation, for a thought, you might be punished. You might be chastised. You might be under severe reproach. But if grace is not brought upon your heart, you will be hardened under it. You will be hardened under it. You can be in the gospel times. You can hear the gospel and the law and the gospel. But if the spirit is lacking, you will be hardened by it. Especially the people of God, and when they are under a legalistic preaching, they will be hardened. Only the gospel and the application breaks your heart, makes you a sinner, makes you to cry for grace. Isn't it the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance? You can be hardened while you're under a preaching. You have to and you must and you go and you do. And you don't. Do you know what Luther said when he was under the legalistic power of the law? And I don't dare hardly to say it. Do you know what he said? I hated God for it. For I couldn't do what he required. What he required. He was hardened. He gave it up. There might be a young man in our midst or a girl saying, I've prayed so many a time and I heard I have to and I can't. I give it up. I'll find my way in the world. I leave it. You might profane the name in which you were baptized, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in the world. And do you know what the people say today when such a young man is walking in the world? He says, there's no hope for you anymore because you left the church. Wait a moment. They profaned the name of the Lord, were brought into captivity. And you would say, hope is gone. No, says the Lord. It's my interest to convert them, to bring them back. They didn't seek for it. They didn't ask for it. They were hardened. And even in the lands of the heathen, they profaned the name of the Lord. But it was God's interest. He separates them from the people of the world and will them bring them back in the land, in the promised land. If that's not the case, there's no hope. Christ came to seek which ones? The lost. The ruined, the prodigals. May I ask you this morning, are you hardened? What is life from before? Oh, you might speak even about the things of the Lord, but where is spiritual life engaged in your soul? My congregation, but I have pity for my holy name, says the Lord. You know what sin? You know what sin? Putting you in the center of salvation. You know what salvation? Putting God in the center of your salvation. You know what sin? missing the mark. You know what's glory? Praising his name. Even if it's sour in your life and troublesome and affliction is there. Paul, when he speaks about salvation, he says, I died, Christ lived. It's not me. It's outside of myself. In God. God is my salvation. Christ is. And if he isn't, there is no salvation. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. And therefore I do not this for your sake, so house of Israel, I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, and I will take you from the heathen. God makes, there it starts. God makes a difference where there is no difference. He draws them out of the Eden, his people. I will take you. It's not said you will come. He says, I will take you. All the people of God must confess and will confess, he has taken me out of the Eden. Making a difference where is no difference. Is there a difference between a Jew and an heathen? In themselves? But he says, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you to one place. To one Christ, to one God, one hope, one faith, one love. I will gather you and bring you into your own land, the land of hope. My dear congregation, can you stand it? And again, and I'm saying it, that's to the comfort of the people of God. Listen, it's not for your sake that God does it. It's for his sake. His name, his honor, his glory, his mercy. Therefore, there is a church. My father always says, the church will never go bankrupt. It's God's church. Right? We think we have an interest. God has an interest. Do you know what's conversion? Being brought to the side of the Lord. Losing your own. No, Pastor. And I will separate you. You won't separate yourself. You're hardened. But I will separate you from among the heathen. I will draw you with cords of mercy, everlasting grace. I will. That's the wonder of this chapter. Always I. God, I will. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Sprinkle. In the Old Testament, the blood was sprinkled of the sacrifice on the mercy seat and around the altar. Around the altar and upon the altar and upon the mercy seat. Sprinkled. But why does the Lord by His Spirit say this morning, I will sprinkle clean water upon you? In the New Testament, after the sacrifice and the pouring of the blood of Christ, there is no bloody sacrifice anymore. Do you know what the Lord says here? There comes a time, there will be brought a sacrifice for all your sins. And the one sacrifice is sacrificed. The daily sacrifice terminated in the temple. And now you see that in Ezekiel it's spoken about the gospel times, about preaching of the gospel in Christ Jesus. He says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Do you know what it means? It means that the sacrifice for the hardened people of God is paid. It is finished. There doesn't need to be poured blood again. The blood is poured. Out of his sight came water, blood. And the daily sacrifice among the Jews are terminated. Is terminated. So if the Lord speaks here in Ezekiel about clean water, it means it's paid for all your sins, people of God. Some people think that there has to be paid still. No. It is paid for all the people of God. The law is fulfilled. The requirements of the law are satisfied. Obedience is paid. Active by obeying the law and passive by paying the price for all sins of his people. Therefore, when Ezekiel speaks about clean water, it speaks about a paid price. Now you have to discern between true and false grace. Liberals say that it's paid for everyone and depends on your faith if you have part of it. Nonsense. It's paid for those whom he loved from eternity, and they will be saved. It will be applied to them. They might have today a hardened heart. God died for us where we will sting, still ungodly. And his blood, dear people, young people, listen, and his blood is enough, says one of the Puritans, for 10,000 worlds. But listen, your sins might be, you might have profaned his name. You might have hardened heart today. You might live in sin. Pastor, stop it. Shh, they did. And God says, I paid a price. Now, I'm going a bit deeper into it. He didn't punish his people to death for the sins, for their sins. But he punished his son to death. Young people, you can't pay. You're not allowed to pay. Can't do it. But Pastor, it does matter how you live. I'm not saying it. That's not true. But you can't pay the ransom for your own sins. You can't make your heart soft. Christ died for the ungodly, where they will still sinners. They were profaning his name, but he would gather them. The gospel has to be preached. Some people are saying, and I know what you're saying, my sins are too many to be forgiven. That's not true. Stop it. For the blood of Christ cleanses from all sins. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. It's paid for all his people. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know if I'm a child of God. That's another question. But the price is paid. And there is blood enough to cleanse you, old hardened sinner sometimes, from all your sins. God didn't ask for you if you wanted to be saved. He says, I will save you and gather you. Why do you preach from that side always? It's the only side to be saved. No one is seeking after the Lord, no one at all. Psalm 15, 24, you can read it. But God is seeking. He says, I will do it for my own name's sake. It's the only surety of the church today. Otherwise it's lost and ruined. And I will gather you. And I will sprinkle blood upon you. No, clean water. Blood is sprinkled upon the mercy seat before the throne of God. But you need application sprinkled upon you. It's not enough to know that the blood is poured. You need to know that it's sprinkled upon you. You need to know that you are just in the sight of God, cleansed from all your iniquities. I need to know it. We live in a time and age, and they say you don't need to know it. But you need to know it. I read with a Puritan, and he said, do you know what's justifying faith? And I'm going to the center. Then you know that you have peace with God, nothing in between. Peace with God, surpassing all understanding. How can the blood be sprinkled upon me? By the application of faith as a work, as a gift of the Spirit in Christ, revealed to your soul. Yeah, but Pastor, I have a hardened heart. I tell you this, those who have a hardened heart don't feel it. But those who are under the influence of the Holy Spirit feel that they have a hardened heart. I read with Shepherd. Have you ever read Shepherd? He said, God convicts of sin. That's his first work. He says, some are convicted of their hardened hearts. Under judgment. Under the requirements of the law. And now I'm speaking to the people of God. May I ask you, have you experienced sometimes a hardened heart? A sigh under it? A cry under it? Have you been for a long time under legalistic preaching? Then your heart will be hardened. You must, and you go, and you do. But do you know when your heart will be broken? If God says, I love you, hardened sinner, to die for you. He breaks you. He broke me by the gospel. Then the love and mercy. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I will apply the blood of my son to your poor soul. I will teach you the gospel. The salutation of Christ in his glory as a suffering servant. You know that Boston, in his first congregation, preached the law very sharply, and I'm not saying you shouldn't. But if that's the only thing you do, you're not a teacher of the gospel. And Boston thought, I should go to my congregation and preach sharply the law. And he did. And do you know what? All the young people were unruly, antagonistic, hardened of heart. But then in his next congregation, God revealed Christ to his soul. And he preached the gospel for poor sinners. And they were hardened. Do you know what happened? Young people started to cry. Hate sin. We're ruly. And I will sprinkle clean water upon you. How does he do? By giving repentance and faith. And you see it in this chapter at the end. 36 at the end, you see the fruits of it. Then shall you remember, 31, your own evil ways and your doings that were not good. And you shall loathe yourself. You know what the people of God can't stand? That God is good for an evil sinner. That he takes the blood of his son to apply it to your heart. That he loves you, even if you don't love him. You know what I thought when the Lord took me to his judgment seat? I thought, last minute, I'm gone and I deserve wrath. And then he didn't kill me, he kissed me. And he said, I love you with eternal love. I said, why, Lord? He says, I don't do it for your name's sake, but for my own name's sake. Oh, Lord. I wanted to be merciful for enemies. I loathe myself and think about my evil ways. That's evangelical repentance. That's the fruit of grace, of the application of mercy the blood of Christ. You're not a high Christian and a good man and a holy saint. Man, forget it. You're a humbled, low, mercy receiver. And you have one goal, to glorify his name, to seek his glory. For he does it only for his own name's sake. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. If God cleanses, he doesn't cleanse you step by step, once for all. For he sees no sins in Jacob and no trespasses in Israel. Whiter than snow, more shining than the sun, by his eternal love. You know what's the wonder of grace? God takes upon him the judgment of his people. And his son pays the price. That God by righteousness might be merciful. Will be merciful. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. Lord, oh, is there a sinner today who says, Lord, do it unto me too. From all my sins, from all my idols, cleanse me. Cleanse me. I can do it. I can't do it. I'm flesh. And sometimes I feel my hardened heart. And I know better times. But where are they? Fresh application of the mercy of God. A fresh application of the mercy of God. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness. When the blood is applied, my dear congregation, he will take away your stony heart, your hardened heart. Give you a new heart, a new spirit within you. Not only the blood of Christ, but also the spirit of Christ. Baptism means be baptized in the blood and spirit of Christ. And I'm not looking to the sign and seal itself, but to the matter of baptism, the applying of the blood and the spirit. You don't need to prove your conversion. God will prove it. You don't need to show that you're a goody-goody. God will do it. You're his holy people. He will do it for his own name's sake. He will sanctify you for his glory. It's his interest. I told you last week, and I say it again, that I have an elder in Al Blasadam, and he knew about the applied blood of Christ. He was set free. He said, but Pastor, and I tried to be a holy man, and I couldn't. It brought me in bonds. People were looking at me, and I had to show that I was converted. and I couldn't. But this Easter, he said, I got the white robe of Christ to clothe me, his righteousness. And the only thing he says is, I have to loathe myself and humble me in the sight of God and praise mercy. I said, Joost, you're right, man. And we both cried. And I will give you new heart. I take away the heart of stone. I will break it, melt it. You know what's a Christian heart? A melted heart. Like water. Soft. You were a lion. Now you're a lamb. You had no mercy, and now you can't even see a bee dying. They say, hey, where are you now? And sometimes you're crying your way, more hidden than openly. You know the influx and the influence of the Spirit of God. You feel it, taste it. Before you didn't. You feel. Thy spirit, your spirit, and my spirit is testifying, children of God. An elder told me, yeah, but let's give you those examples. He said, my father was a Christian and he met another Christian. He never had met him speakingly, spoken to each other, but they saw each other and they knew they were Christians. The Spirit testified. But yeah, Pastor, I have to do what God says you did in Christ, most perfect. What do you say? In Christ, most perfect. You know what Luther said? If I'm by faith in Christ Jesus, I've only good works. My sowing is good work, and my washing the dishes is good work by faith in him. Understand me? No? Yeah, but you're an evil one. Yes, I am. Luther says, I'm above the law, and my flesh is under the law, he says. Understand me? And what I live, he said, I live Christ. And what I die myself. That's a secret. In Christ, you're, says Paul, a new creature, a second Adam. Sinless. No. Yes. And you will be justified when you die. And I mean this. You are justified by faith. If Christ is sprinkling, the Spirit is sprinkling, applying the blood to your soul, you're justified by faith. But you will see it later. As he is, you will be. Laying down the body of sin on the cemetery, in the grave. I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and it cause you to walk. I will do it. You can't. You won't. Therefore, the Lord Jesus said it was good that he would go, than the other comforter. The first comforter comforts us in the guilt of sin being taken away. The second comforter comforts the people in the power of sin which he breaks. I will cause you to walk in my ways. It needs prayer. Now, then we go to the catechism, but let's go to the catechism. You know the order of the catechism, eh? Law, conviction, faith, thankfulness. Why does the catechism say that the law has to be preached sharply to know your evil nature that's left over? Not to know your guilt, it's taken away by Christ. Let's go orderly. Now, how can I live according to the grace of God? Then he brings the law, the catechism teacher. The requirements of the law. But after the law, prayer. That's not without a reason. The law shows me that I'm not like I should be. Carnal, sold under sin. But prayer. You know, Augustine said, Lord, give what thou requires, and requires then what thou willst. That's prayer. People say to me, I'm not allowed to hate people. Some people I don't like. What are you saying? Some people I don't like. Then you can't preach. That's what the devil says. I should preach. And sometimes I'm hardened even in it. I say, let a man go. But if the Spirit moves me, I see my hardened heart and my selfishness and my anger as sin. And do you know what I ask then? So, Lord, give me some of thy love for enemies, and I will love them. It's not with me. But I hear a lot of Christians say, you have to, and you must, and you go, and you do. And do you know what it brings you? In prison. I've seen a lot of people of God, and they're hypocrites. They're in bondage again. They have to prove their conversion to be a good school teacher, and you're not. You should love out every child and you don't. You should seek his praises every moment and you don't. You should walk in his steps and you don't. You're a liar. Master, stop it. No. Although I'm a liar, I'm not a liar anymore. Although I'm a sinner, I'm not a sinner anymore. Although I'm carnal, I'm spiritual. And the Lord says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. If that wouldn't be the case, I would give it up. But that's the case. And I've said last week, sometimes he gives you repentance before you sin. And sometimes while you're sinning. And sometimes after you sin. And evangelical repentance is the power of salvation and sanctification. Loathe yourself, Ezekiel. And you shall loathe yourself. And you shall remember your own evil ways. And your doings that were no good. Were is cursive. It's not there. Your doings not good. Even after grace. Your doings, not good. in your own sight and your iniquities and for your abominations. That's a Christian. That's a Christian which is forgiven all his sins. Do you know who I'm bringing in despair this morning? Those who are under the law. For I don't leave you any room for flesh and betterment. But probably there are some in jail and bound with chains. Say, if that's the case, God will do it in due time. What I can do. And I will make you to cause. You need an other comforter. And he will make you to walk in my ways. That's a leader of children. Do you know how he leads? By peace. If you have no peace, you're not in his ways. He leads by peace. He's the King of peace. And if you have no peace, you're not in his ways. If you're doubting, not in his ways. He makes straight ways in your soul. And even if there is a loss, there might be peace. Are his ways. Even if you go to ruin, according to this life, and if there is peace, he will cause you to walk in his ways. And sometimes I know my ways, and I'm praying, Lord, will thou go with me? And he says, no, I won't. You go with me, he said. We make a decision and say, let's go. And the Lord says, no, you're not. And you stumble and fall. Why I say this and have to say this again. If peace is leaving you, and I've seen it many a time, and you see it in the scriptures, Galatians, they were brought under bondage again. They preached the law after the gospel, and not the gospel after the gospel. And young people are sensitive. Boy, I know some sins you can't fight. I know it, boy. But God can fight it. You need forgiveness first, and then a new heart and the Spirit within you. Not first improvement, first forgiveness. I had a man of the church in the congregation speaking about telephones, and I don't know all those stuff. He says, in the morning they begin and look up what people have to say, or friends and so on, and the whole day they're looking in that phone. I hope you won't. And when they sleep, they lay the phone aside, and the next morning is, who has written to me? He said, it's love for the world. And the people of the church are no better than the people of the world. That's slavery. And then he said to the young people, he said, you have to change your life. And I thought, there you're going wrong. He should have said, you need forgiveness. Because you have sinned. And if there is no forgiveness, there is no newness of life. All is flowing from the mediator. He should be your all in all. Young people, in your life, you don't need to be a better boy, but a forgiven boy. And then he will give you a new heart. That's the order. Rome, the Catholic Church says, first a work in you and then a work outside of you. And you never know if you are justified or not. Heaven will reveal it. It's a lie. First the blood sprinkled, then the Spirit indwelling in you. Yeah, but is there not a work of faith, of conviction? Surely. But the law brings you to Christ as the taskmaster. And out of him flows everything. Even when I left here last week, in the night I saw it again. You know the apostolic confession? The work of the Father, creation. The work of the Son, redemption. And now the work of the Spirit. Do you know what you would expect? The forgiveness of sin with the second person? No. With the third person. In application. I believe in the Holy Spirit. The forgiveness of sins. I will sprinkle upon you. Bring you to Christ. And out of Christ flows newness of life. And I will cause you. You read it in Acts. And your sins will be forgiven you. And you will receive the Holy Ghost. After you have believed, you will be sealed by the Spirit of promise. After you have believed. Does the work of the Spirit not the first thing? Yes, sure. But the person of the Spirit is the last. And he will bring to you the Father and the Son, eternal love, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know who is a Christian? Who loathes himself of all his sins. Do you know who is the holiest? Who feels most sins. The flesh, the world. And rests only in Christ and prays for the fruits of the Spirit in his life to do what he can do, what's not in his flesh. And I will cause you to walk in my ways. I will direct your path. I will withhold my peace if you go wrong. I will bring you under chastisement when you walk away and walk after you. We sometimes think that we have to walk after God. Oh, he walks after me. Can you stand it? Yeah, but Pastor, we should walk after him. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but first let him seek after you, for you will seek after him. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes, in my grace, in my sacrifice, in my Spirit. I will cause you to walk. And you will glorify my name. I do this not for your sake, says the Lord God, be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded of your own ways, O house of Israel. My ways and his ways are not the same. His ways are higher than my ways. I wanted, by the word of God, to comfort the poor people of God who are in the bondage again, to prove their conversion. You can't. It slips out of your hands. You don't need to. God will do it. And he will direct your feet. And at last will bring you home. And then you will sing all out of him, all by him, all unto him. To him be the glory forever and ever. God doesn't save you to bring you under the God, under the law again. Yeah, he brings you under what law? The law of love. The law of the liberty, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's different. That's a different law. Do you know what law it is? Fulfilled. Doesn't condemn you anymore. But you might not be able to earn something by it too. Christ earned it. And what's the law of love then? To fulfill love. A new commandment. A new commandment. Love your brothers as yourself. Your enemies. Love. As Christ gave his life, that your love might be in the love of Christ for those who sin. And I will make you to cause. I will cause you to walk in my ways. O people of God, let the comfort not be taken from you, since your flesh, and only flesh, after grace, but that he might guide your ways, set you free, give you evangelical repentance and a joy for him. For he does it only for his name's sake. To him be the glory forever and ever. And I'm a poor sinner, loathing myself. But he is directing my feet and my thoughts. And they are higher than my ways. And he does what he says. Read it in this chapter. He does what he says. And at length, you will be home, directed by him. And if you don't know him, poor sinner, you're under the law. And are even this morning sitting in church with a hardened heart, angry, mad, opposed to Christ and mercy, oh poor sinner. But I will sprinkle upon you clean water and cleanse you from all your filthiness, from all your hardness, from all your sins. That grace might be applied to the young people among us, that eternal love that's in Christ Jesus alone. May the Lord bless us. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, it's all out of thee and therefore unto thee. It's thy interest and thy glory. And we have just stumbled in words. We have said so little about it. Forgive me, for it's such a majesty of work, such a glory of grace, such an endless favor, such a shining sun, such a mercy that never fades, although sometimes we darken it ourselves. Lord, be the after preacher and the applier of thy own word. And if their hardened hearts, break them, that they may loathe themselves, deny, and be loved to thy glory. Deny themselves and be loved by thee to thy glory. Forgive us our sins. We humbly beseech thee, give us a new heart and the application of grace anew, that we may be lowered before thee. And thou wilt be lifted up from now to eternity. For thou hast said, I do it not for your sake, but for my own holy name's sake. Remember the afflicted who can't come to thee. Come to them. Those who are near to death, weak. O Lord, thy coming will be their salvation. We ask it for Christ's sake only. Amen.